Christmas puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, Gordon Goldsboro typically had a tremendous story last week. Let's see where he's going to take us this week. He, of course, is always our guest on Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon with the Manitoba Historical Society. Welcome back.
Good morning, Terry.
Now, you hinted last week as you were leaving that you were going to do a story about something to do with a kind of wheat board.
Well, yes, I was referring to the Canadian Wheat Board, which farmers at least will know was an organization and until recently had a monopoly to sell farmers wheat. But this week we're going to look at an entirely different connotation of Canadian Wheat Board, specifically an environmentally friendly building material that was made at Ely, Manitoba using wheat straw.
Okay, I think I know this story, but remind us the elements of it.
Okay. Well, there was a company called Isoboard Enterprises, and it was founded in the early 1990s by a pair of entrepreneurs. And the idea was to take straw from farmers' fields and compress it with some resin to make a building material, to make a board material that they called a wheat board or isoboard. The idea then was to really do two things. I mean, for farmers at least, it was a real boon because one is it gave them an additional source of revenue because they could then sell the straw that they would normally have to get rid of just by burning it or chopping it up and tilling it into their fields. But the other, of course, that it would avoid the problem of having to spend the money to get rid of the straw somehow. So it seemed like a really good idea. The other thing, of course, was that it would then avoid the use of trees and other sort of things that they didn't have to cut down. So it seemed like a really good idea. So the company came to the Council of the RM of Cartier and made the proposal that they wanted to build a manufacturing plant at Ely. And it was going to be the first of its kind. They were going to build several others across Canada. And it was going to take all of this material and make this board. The board, by the way, it was intended to be used in a variety of certain applications. Things like ready-to-assemble furniture, countertops, shelves, cabinets. Typically areas where you wouldn't actually see it. It wouldn't be exposed. The idea was it would be sort of inside the wooden materials that they would build. They built a plant at Ely. They spent $150 million building this plant. They had all kinds of investors. They had a Canadian bank. They had four foreign banks. Here's the Crocus Investment Fund here in Manitoba was one of the investors in it. They enlisted 375 farmers to be part of a cooperative that would provide the straw, the wheat straw for this plant. They had to be within a sort of a 50-mile radius of the plant in Ely. And the idea was that they were going to then use this straw over a course of time. They established yards where they would store the straw while they were awaiting processing. There was, in fact, three large yards surrounding this big plant in Ely. Now, anyone who's traveled the Trans-Canada Highway past Ely will recall that there are even today signs of this because there were these big stacks of straw that came up close to the Trans-Canada Highway.
I've seen them, yeah.
Right. Well, it turns out there was the two straw yards that were there were the ones immediately adjacent to the highway. There was a third one that was a little bit off the highway that you couldn't see so readily.
Now, you mentioned, though, that this is a company that got its start in the 1990s. Why? Mm-hmm. What's it doing on Abandoned Manitoba?
Well, unfortunately, the enterprise came and went fairly rapidly. It started in 1998. That's when it finally first opened. It ran 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But unfortunately, it very quickly ran afoul of, well, some kind of market factors. They very quickly launched a lawsuit against the engineering firm that had designed the plant. The company maintained that the plant design was poor, and as a result, they couldn't manufacture the product as fast as they had needed to do to be able to make it economical. So that was one of the reasons they suggested the plant just couldn't work well. But there's also rumors that the material itself couldn't meet quality standards. It was in sort of an inferior material that wouldn't hold up. There was also suggestions that it simply couldn't compete against these other sources of this particle board, things like wood fiber board and things like that. Well, anyway, so the Isoboard Enterprises declared bankruptcy in 2000, so literally only 2 years after they began operating. Now, of course, there were a lot of assets there that were – essentially brand new. The company that provided the resin, because they took what they would do is they take the chopped straw and they'd mix it with a special resin and then press it. The supplier of that was Dow Chemical. And so Dow stepped in and said, well, we think we can make it operational. And of course, here's a big company with quite deep resources. They thought they could make a go of it. So they reopened the plant. And they apparently improved the quality of the product dramatically, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, they couldn't make a go of it either. So it closed again in December of 2005. So by this point, it had only operated for something like 7 years, you know, and it really unfortunate because they say they'd made an enormous investment in this plant. Now, the plant itself, they tried to sell it as a complete package. By this point, I guess everyone had realized this was no longer a feasible operation, so no one would bid on it. So eventually, they just parceled up the individual components and sold them. The building, of course, is still there. It was a fairly new building, and it's now being used by a variety of entrepreneurs, including one that's making roof trusses for buildings. But what's more interesting, and this is where we come back to the abandoned part of our theme, is the straw. Because, of course, they had to have all this straw, I mean, to run the plant. It was suggested that at the height, they were going to need something like 400,000 bales of straw to maintain this plant each year. Each of these bales was 1,200 pounds. So, you know, you do the math, that's a phenomenal mass of straw. So they had these large yards. Well, the plant closed so rapidly, but they had already amassed all this straw. What do you do with it now? So they had the 3 yards. One of them was under the control of the company. And so therefore the company, Dow, had to deal with it. So they bought a big grinder and they ground it up. The reason they ground it was the straw itself, you think, well, wouldn't that just rot away? You could just let it dispose of it naturally. Well, yes, but unfortunately they'd use plastic twine to hold the bale in place. And that, of course, doesn't break down. In fact, it could last decades. So they just couldn't dump it out in a farmer's field because then the farmer's equipment would get tangled in all this plastic twine. So Dow ground it up into fine little powder and then it spread that across fields. And that was a good way to deal with that. The other yard, the one along the Trans-Canada, it was owned privately. It wasn't owned by the company. And so the person there has been gradually distributing in across fields as well. But interestingly enough, the third yard, the one that was also owned, it was privately, but it's off the Trans-Canada Highway. For whatever reason, the owner there didn't want to deal with it, and they were still sitting there. So the plant closed, you know, 11 years ago, and the bales there are still to this day standing there, these huge stacks. And it's really a shame to see all that good material go to waste. But you know, there's no apparently way to do that. So.
An amazing contemporary story on abandoned Manitoba.
Wow. That's right.
Okay. Gordon, thank you so much for this.
You're welcome, Terry.
And next week?
We're going to visit a derelict castle that was once home to the founder of Neepawa.
Okay. I can hardly wait. Talk to you next week.
See you, Terry.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.